Good evening. Tonight we're going to consider the great invitation that Jesus has given us to us all. And we ask the question, who did Jesus die for? And Jesus, as it says in Luke 19:10, came to seek and save the lost. He paid the price and he died on the cross. He died for all men. Hebrews 10:10 tells us that. He died for all men, all women, of all faith, to come together in Jesus' name and come together and worship him, because he is the true only way through salvation. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, ye all that are heavy, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus said, come unto me. He didn't say, as some of the other churches say, that if you invite Jesus into your heart, that Jesus will come into your heart. That's not the way it works. We go to Jesus. Jesus doesn't come to us. We have to make that step. We must go to Jesus and leave the sin behind to begin the journey. If we do not leave the sin behind, we can't begin the journey. And if we don't change and have a change of the heart, there's no way that we can get into Christ. The prodigal son had a change of heart when he left the hog pen and returned to the father. And when he came into himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called my son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was young, or when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We must come out of the darkness and into the light. 1 John 1:7 tells us that there has to be a change. If we don't change, we can't get into Jesus. And we have to get into Jesus. Jesus doesn't come into us.
Good evening. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus invited all mankind to come unto him. All that had a burden of sin, and we talk about the burden of sin in the world today. Just what is that burden? Well, the labor that we have here in living in this world is the labor of living in a world full of sin. Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we know that all of us have sinned. And since all of us have sinned, then we know that sin is, by definition in the Bible, disobedience unto God or transgression of the law. And if we turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we know that we are sinners. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that sin separates us from God. So the burden that we walk, that people on this earth today walk around with, is the burden of sin. And the worst part about this is the result of this burden. In Romans 6 and verse 23, if you return there quickly, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus invited all mankind to come unto him. We know that through Adam, sin entered into the world, and that we were lost from that point on without Jesus. Sin separates man from God. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners, that we all sin and fall short of his glory. The Bible teaches us that the law of Moses in the book of Hebrews could not save us. The Lord sent one perfect sacrifice to replace the law, and he sent Jesus to us. It's easy for us to talk about the love of Christ, the love that God had for us in sending Christ to us, but it's hit home to me really a whole lot harder here lately. When something happens to you kiddos, you realize just how much you love them and how hard it is to think that something's wrong with them or something could happen to them. And it really becomes reality. And it's not something that you just think about. It's something you start living. And we realize how much we love our kids. And for us to understand that God sent his only Son, not just to die, but to suffer a cruel death on the cross so that we might live with him eternally, is something that really is hard for me to wrap my head around. I don't know how he could do that. I know that I praise him for doing it. I thank God that he did it. I thank God that he sent his Son that we might escape the separation from God eternally. It's hard for me to understand how he could do it, but I'm so thankful that he did. So Jesus invited all mankind to come unto him, and he said, those that are heavy laden, and we are heavy laden, for we're sinners, and without Jesus we have no hope, for he is our hope. Romans tells us that the result of this sin is death, because it is separation from God. But for us who are in Christ, as we read in the Bible, we have been spared the separation from God eternally. We have been blessed because we now have a home prepared for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. And what a comforting thought that is. Henry's going to come up here now and talk about some of the conditions that were left for us in the Bible to understand us coming to Christ.
So what are the conditions for coming to Christ? Jesus said that we're to take his yoke. And what is a yoke anyway? It's a heavy wooden harness that was used to join a couple of oxen or some other kind of beast of burden together to bear a heavy burden, to pull a heavy load. So Jesus is asking us to take his yoke and to join him, to become part of his team, to become part of the church, and to bear the heavy load that we have to bear. Jesus will help us through that. When we become joined with him, he will take care of us. Another condition for coming to Christ is to become a servant, or some translations say a slave of righteousness. This is Romans 6 and 18. While we were all once slaves to sin, to come to Jesus means that we have to abandon that old lifestyle. We have to turn away from it. Because we can't serve two masters. We know that. Jesus told us as much in Matthew 6:24 that we'd either love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So that's not to say as Christians that we won't slip up occasionally and sin, because we all know that we will. But we can no longer serve that master of this world. We must serve the master of the world to come. So what does it mean to be a servant anyway? The very word servant has an action verb as its origin. You have to serve, which means you have to do something. You can't just not do anything. In James 1:22, it says we are to be doers of the word. If we just sit and listen, we deceive ourselves. So let's not kid ourselves at all. We can't come to services on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and sit on the pew and listen and not go out into the world and actually do something and expect to have a home in heaven. We have to be doers and not just hearers. And if we're willing to do that, Jesus will help with our load. He's told us as much. In verse 29 there, he said that his burden is light and easy. His yoke is light and easy. And he'll help us with it because he's much stronger than we are. We can't do it alone. That's no doubt about this. So let's get on Jesus' team and pull with him, and he'll bear our burdens.
I know that sometimes in life it seems as though the opportunities for spiritual growth are come at you at a rapid pace. And I know sometimes it almost feels overwhelming to us as Christians. And I think it's at these times that we have to reflect back to the Word and to the truth and understand that certainly the truth carries us through. The Word of God gives us the strength that we need in order to be able to deal with the burdens and the challenges of this life. My portion of the lesson tonight deals with learning about Jesus. And when we think about this, it certainly suggests that in order to learn that we need to do something. And I know sometimes at school we have a lot of students that want to learn, but they don't want to do anything. You know, they just want to sit there and smile and hope it happens. And in life, it's not that way. And in the Christian life, it's certainly not that way. In order for us to continue to grow spiritually, we have to continue to study. And I find it interesting sometimes when we look out into the world and you see a lot of people that they're struggling. They're struggling to find their way. It's almost as though their own eyes, they can't get their feet under them. And I think sometimes that reason is that they're not following the truth. They're not following the Word of God. And as a result, they can't seem to find their balance. And of course, they can't make progress in that situation. I know many times in our life there are people out there that want to they want to lead people. They're not sure where they're going to lead them, but they just want to get someone to follow them. And I think that as a Christian, we have to be very careful of the people that we follow. Because there are those out there that really don't speak from the truth. They don't speak from the Word of God. They simply want to tickle our ears. As an example, I would like to share with you what I found in a fortune cookie today. And you know, there's a lot of people that base their life upon what they read in a fortune cookie. Let me share this with you. I thought this was one of the more humorous ones I've ever seen. As you slide down the banister of life, may the splinters never point your way. And I thought, you know, I wish there was some truth in that, but we all know the reality of this life. And there's not much truth in that fortune cookie. The truth lies in the Word of God. Now, we will start tonight with John 6, verse 68. Now, this is a situation where some of the disciples had deserted Jesus. Things had got heated, and he knew not everyone was going to withstand the heat of the fire. And so his statement in verse 67 is, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, and in that statement, Peter really spoke for each one of us. To whom shall we go? Well, we have to go back to the Word. Jesus spoke the Word. Jesus gave us the examples that we need to live in our life. And we have to be careful that we continually follow that example and those words, the truth, that were spoken for each and every one of us. Too many times we want to follow the philosophers, the self-styled authorities that know what they know, and they want you to follow them. But if they don't know the truth, then they will lead us off that narrow path. And so we have to continually, as a Christian, study the Word and ensure the fact that we are on the path. Next, I would like you to turn to John 12, verse 48. "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day." You know, when we look back at the life of Jesus, we understand as Christians that, you know, that first mission that he made to this earth was with purpose. He was here to help individuals find salvation and find their way to eternal life. But we also understand that upon his return and the judgment day, that he will judge us for the life that we live and for the things that we do and the things that we fail to do. And it's important that we follow the truth. You know, with the truth, we have a clear understanding of what the expectations are for us and what our purpose is within this life. Without the truth, we simply wander in darkness and we veer off that narrow path. Next, I would like for us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." We look at this and we understand that clearly in the judgment day, we want to be considered a workman. And we certainly want to be considered worthy of God's praise and God's grace. We can only accomplish this through living a life that is focused upon His Word. Next, I would like for us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. We look at this and we see that Paul's given us clear direction here as to what we should do in regards to our studies. He's not telling us to pick out one chapter in the Bible. He's not telling us to pick out one verse of the Bible. He's telling us to study the truth in its entirety. Too many times in the world that we live in, people want to pick out one phrase and they want to make that their focal point. Well, when you do that, you limit yourself so far as your spiritual growth. In order for us to grow spiritually, we have to be able to study the Bible, the Word of God, in its entirety. That's where we get the more clear picture of what the true plan for our purpose in life really is. So many times as we go through life, we think about the fact that, you know, we're maybe living our life in our mind better than someone else. But I don't know exactly how that can benefit us, if you know what I'm saying. I think that what we have to look at is that example that was set before us. And when we compare our life to Jesus Christ, we clearly see that we do fall short. Thankfully, we have the grace of God to fall back on. Without that, I'm not sure any of us could follow that narrow path. If you would, at this time, turn to Matthew 7, verse 14. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, a lot of times we think about the fact that it's difficult to become a Christian. To me, that's not where the difficulty in a Christian life is. There's a pattern set for us to become a Christian. The challenge is it being able to sustain and to live that life throughout its entirety. There are challenges that we meet each day. And I know a lot of times, you know, the sin of the world seems very tempting to even the strongest of Christians. I think sometimes that the challenges of the world seem to be almost unbearable, even to the strongest of Christians. And I think the thing that we have to understand is that we have to take that first step. We have to become a Christian. If you have not become a Christian, tonight you will have that opportunity to take that step to Jesus. You'll have that opportunity to approach that narrow path. Maybe you've made that decision somewhere back in your life, and and you're living the Christian life, but you're meeting with some challenges that seem to be overwhelming at this time. You will have that opportunity to come forward and to ask for the prayers of the church, to allow God to help you through the difficulties of this life. We certainly have a purpose. It's clearly stated in His plan. We should hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And more importantly, continue to follow the truth that He has laid before us. If you have not had the opportunity to be baptized, if you need the prayers of the church, if you would, please come at this time as we stand and sing.